Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Okay, I think I still remember how to do this. It's been a weird couple of days. Yay. Where's that noise coming from? Sounds like a crowd. Okay, this is weird. All right, so we're going, okay, we'll stop that and find out just exactly what the strange crowd noise is, okay? Shall we? Yeah, let's do. No, it's not that. It's... No. Uh-uh. No. Is it gone? I don't know. Some autoplay audio somewhere. Ick. That Carol Baker, that was truly bizarre. It was some audio on one of the bajillion tabs that I have opened. It was just deciding to play something. Stink bug convention under your desk? Well, I don't know. They may be running around with the little piss ants. It's spring, and they're back, too. Hey, thank you very kindly, Thomas, over at FYINation.com. Got you loud and clear, FYINation.com. Even with the strange. Yes. Even with the strange. It's 2 minutes past the hour. We begin the broadcast for this evening. I'm headed to the chat room at the moment, just so I can be part of the madcap merriment, the real-time extravaganza that is the Horn chat room every evening that the program is live. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and I'm sorry I wasn't on the air last night. I had been, I had been told that they wanted me there at MSNBC, and so I shot a live mountaintop removal discussion with Huffington Post live earlier in the day up on Cayford Mountain. It's always nice to get up on Cayford, and well, it's nice and it's not nice at the same time. That little bitty spot that is the Stanley Ayers Park is a beautiful place, largely unspoiled. It's sitting in the middle of a mountaintop removal sacrifice zone. Who am I talking about? What am I talking about? We did that and then headed into Charleston. But it turned out that our satellite company that usually does the connection to New York was busy with, oh my God, now the Democratic nominee for governor in the state of West Virginia, Jim, God made me Jim Justice, not Kunta Kinte Justice. Yeah, going to have a real problem with that. I mean, I'm kind of screwed for a gubernatorial candidate. Arthur from the chat room saying, you must be really bummed out that Bernie lost in West Virginia. Oh, wait, he won. Ha! Hi, Brother Bob. Hi, Arthur. Yeah, Bernie did win yesterday in West Virginia, as I predicted. But we may have to change the signs at the state line. You know, they say, welcome to wild, wonderful West Virginia. We may have to add a word. Welcome to wild, wonderful, weird West Virginia. And maybe we've been weird for a while, but... Goodness gracious sakes alive. 39% of the people who voted for Bernie yesterday said that they plan to vote for Trump in November. And I get that. I wasn't really sure looking at that statistic. Did that mean that they would vote for Trump if Hillary was the nominee, or that even if Bernie was the nominee, they'd vote for? I don't know. But we had some, you know, we had some monkey shines in our primary because, well, after all, T-Rump told his voters not to bother voting for him. Had it all sewed up. Didn't need him. And so, look, it was weird. I went and voted. There was no way I was going to be kept from it. And they said, you know, Democrat or Republican? Democrat. They're not allowed to just assume, but... And so they handed me my ballot, my paper ballot, my optical scan ballot, with all the little ovals on it. And it was front and back. The Republican ballot, on the other hand, was 3 pages. In my little pissant county, it was 3 pages front and back. And, you know, the usual suspects were on there, you know, state senate, state house of delegates, county commission, magistrates, circuit judges, Supreme Court justice, yada, yada. But they had to vote for all of their delegates to the Republican convention. And so there were a bunch of names on there that nobody knew from Adam's house cat. And standing right behind me, and then we'll get to what the evening's about in short order and everything. Standing right behind me in line was an older gentleman. And so he showed up to vote and kind of made me wonder if he'd voted in a while. And they said, which ballot do you want? And they said, and he kind of looked at him like a cow looking at a new gate. And they said, well, are you a Democrat or a Republican? Yeah, I'm an independent. Well, which ballot do you want? Because, see, we engage in that stupidity here that people who are not affiliated with a given party should be allowed to choose that party's nominee. Now, I know that has worked to Bernie Sanders' benefit, but it really makes no sense. It really, honest to God, makes no sense. This isn't one of those things where, I mean, if they said, okay, you can't vote in a primary because of the color of your skin or because of your gender, that would be a violation of civil rights. But to say that a person who does not belong to a party should be able to help choose that party's nominee for the general election, to me, that's lunacy. But it's a fact. Here. So I said, well, do you want a Democratic ballot or a Republican ballot? And you could see the little wheels a-turning in his head, and there's a little bit of steam coming out of his ears. And he said, or do you want the nonpartisan ballot? And all of a sudden, the guy's little pink ears perked up, and he was about to take the nonpartisan ballot. But you know me, I can't keep my mouth shut, because there was a new guy. Usually when I go to the polls are attended by 90-year-old blue-haired ladies who know the election laws inside out and upside down and better than the Secretary of State herself does. But instead, there was this new kid, and he was about to hand him the nonpartisan ballot. The only thing on the nonpartisan ballot was school board, circuit judges, and a Supreme Court justice race. And I looked at him and I said, son, because, you know, when you get up above, when you finally get north of 50, you get to call younger men son. Son, you might want to explain to him what that means. And one of the older ladies took over and said, well, do you want to vote for president? He said, I sure do. She said, then you'll want either a Democratic or a Republican ballot. Well, I want to vote for some or all of them. No, sir, no. You're going to, if you want to, I'll take a Republican. He wasn't about to say, I want to vote for Trump. But that's what it was about. So at least he got to, and at least, and I helped, right? So anyway, that's what that was about. I had a very brief wait, but the polls were briskly busy here. Some places in West Virginia had two-hour waits, which is downright shocking. well put, Arthur. Arthur says, I'll have the ballot that doubles as brown acid blotter, please. That would be the Republican ballot. Yes. Yep. Exactly, Arthur. Oh, did I do the Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid part yet? Well, I am. It's 10 minutes past the hour. And it's also prayer meeting Wednesday. And we'll get to that. But it was a very interesting day, and I'm sorry. So I wasn't on air because I waited in Charleston until right near to airtime just in case something worked out. But it didn't, and Ferg and I came on back up the mountain to close out a very busy day. So I apologize for my absence. Which leads me to where we stand right now. Wait a minute. Hi, still me. I just climbed down in here into the horn fundraising hole. I can't see the sun anymore. No. We closed out fundraising on Monday evening at 325. Last night took it to 525. Tonight takes it to 725. We can subtract. Thank you very kindly to our monthly subscribers. We can take that down to $670. So that's why I'm down here in this hole. We've got $670 to raise to stay even for the month of May. And gosh, I just kind of hope we do that little thing. It would be very, very helpful because the bills, it's like the Bible says, the bills ye have always with ye. No, actually, the Bible says the poor ye have always with ye, but the poor have bills. That's what makes them poor. So I just thought I'd climb down here and let you hear what it's like to be down here in the fundraising hole. Yeah, hold on. So, yeah, now that I'm back. $670 to go. yes, Carol, I am. Carol says, you're losing weight if you can fit yourself into the empty mailbox. Right. Exactly. With room to spare, I might add. So, one at 670. That ain't going to happen. Two at 335. That probably ain't going to happen either. Four at, wait a minute, 335, four at 167.50, and if I have to do what eight is, we'll probably be here all night. So that's where we are, and hopefully it gets better. Like I said, I'll be glad when the political campaign season's over because it tends to suck all the oxygen out of the room. I mean, we took a big hit when George Soros decided to give $9 million or whatever it was to Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton. But it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. This here 11th day of May, 2016. And for those of you who do want to help out as we pass the plate around, the PayPal interface is over at headonradionetwork.com under the tab that says Contribute. And thank you very kindly. We have a new subscriber. We've had a couple fall off because they have to be renewed periodically, and sometimes And sometimes they fall off when people's credit cards expire and have to be re-upped. So we've got that to deal with as well. We've got a brand new subscriber. Thank you to Jose. Thank you very kindly. Thank you also to our subscriber, Tony, who has been a subscriber almost as long as anybody. Thank you to Randy for your help. And I'm going down here to, there we go. Make sure we get our other subscribers thanked. Thank you to Jay Cruzen. And thank you very much to Judy. And thank you to Don. Thank you, Don, very much. Thank you to Randy in Ohio. And thanks to Kath, also in Ohio. It is very, very, very helpful. And getting us started this evening, thank you to Jay out in the desert, either on this side or the other side of the Mexican border. Thank you very kindly, Jay. That takes us down to $645 to go for the evening. That is very important that we get started. And thank you for being such a longtime supporter of the program. Note coming in from Earther. Hillary's Nutsgate. Jesus. I didn't know your appearance on All In with Chris Hayes had generated outrage. I missed the start of Monday's program until I listened to the podcast. You mentioned the reaction by the Hilarians to your appearance. I watched that show, and it did sound like you said she's nuts. I thought it was funny at the time because I imagined someone complaining about that. I didn't think that was actually going to happen, but of course it did. I never thought that was what you meant because you're not like that, and you're very disciplined even if you were. I could also tell that it was an issue with the delay because you could clearly see the delayed reaction several times. You talked over each other at some point. And we did, and the delay is a booger, but that's a West Virginia thing. But the transcript, if you go and find the transcript, as Little Gray did in the chat room, you'll notice it says, she's not, dot, 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 she's not, dot, dot, dot. So the transcriptionist understood that I did not say she's nuts. But, you know, they're a thin-skinned bunch. But it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. We're going to pass the plate in a moment. Jay's gotten us started. And, the PayPal interface is fine. And if you prefer the United States Postal Service, that's fine and dandy, too. Just send cards and letters and whatnot, checks and money orders to the Horn. 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. Okay. And if you want to, just let me know, and I'll tell Boss Man Wayne he can leave the spider-proof gloves in the truck. Because sometimes when he reaches into the empty mailbox, he's gone through five or six pairs of spider-proof gloves. They just chew them right off. It's like freaking Shelob in there. You know, rah! Mm-hmm. So, just by way of getting us in a prayer meeting Wednesday kind of mood, I was off on some of the little tiny roads and highways and byways of West Virginia yesterday, and well. We saw, Ferg and I saw a church. Now, there's nothing particularly special about that because you can barely blink your eyes without seeing a church in West Virginia. The only people that pay less taxes than the coal industry is the religion industry in this state. But this wasn't any church. No. And if you want to go over to my Facebook page and have a look, you can. I posted it there. I saw this church and I realized that the long-running conversation that I've had with an old friend of mine, he is deeply Roman Catholic and still considers me, you know, to the extent that I was raised Protestant, a heretic, you know, Baptist, we count. And I think I'm probably less of a heretic to him now that I just don't believe in any of that crap than I was before. But we've gone back and forth on the issue over the years. And when I saw this particular church yesterday, I realized that the argument had come to an end, and I had lost. And I immediately sent him a note saying, I concede the Reformation was a lousy, no good, terrible, very bad, awful idea, and should be immediately rescinded. What would cause me, because I don't just give up on an argument, damn it. But what caused me to do this was the acme, and I'm not kidding. Go look at the photograph. It's there on my Facebook page. The Acme Pentecostal Church. Now, Pentecostal churches are nothing rare here in Central Appalachia or in West Virginia. You know, when we talk about floor rolling, tongue speaking, strychnine swigging, serpent handling, well, that's kind of what we're, I don't know if they probably don't do the serpents there at the Acme Pentecostal Church. But I'm sure they do the floor rolling and the tongue speaking and the strychnine swigging. Well, maybe not the strychnine. But, you know, they pour oil on each other for ostensibly non-kinky reasons, just like they poured oil all over Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed booger-eating future king of America, because he's still all that. He's going to be king of America yet, because he's had some oil poured on him. And you're going to say it all Appalachian or Southern language. Say, oh, it's not even hardly a whole syllable, is it? Oh, it's just a kind of a grunt, oh. They do all that there at the Acme Pentecostal Church, but you know me, after 12 years of near constant references to the Warner Brothers cartoons upon which I was raised, I can't see Acme Pentecostal Church without thinking that if I set foot inside, I would fall immediately straight through to hell through the instant hole laying on the floor just waiting for me. Although I was also given to a mental image of the Reverend Dr. Vicar Wiley Coyote standing there at the pulpit of the Acme Pentecostal Church. Perhaps preaching a sermon on the benefits of Acme earthquake pills or Acme rocket skates. You understand, I trust. But it wasn't just that it was the Acme Pentecostal Church. It was the fact that they still had their Easter cross out. Maybe they lose it. Maybe they leave it there 365 days a year. I don't know. There you go. Little Gray's getting in the spirit of things. Yeah, spirit, see? Snakes on Acme rocket skates. There we go. Be more like a kind of a streamer behind the rocket skate, wouldn't it? Yeah. I can imagine the processional and the recessional there in the Acme Pentecostal Church. It's probably that. Never mind. But at least that's not singing. Well, okay. Let the confusion begin. Lottie in the chat room says, Easter cross? You're going to have to explain that to an ex-Roman Catholic. Well, I know, because you can't, the cross is all over the place, but in the Roman Catholic Church. But in a lot of Protestant denominations, and I don't know, maybe some Catholic churches too, or, you know, maybe down there where they practice their Catholicism with a dead chicken in one hand and a rosary in the other. Lottie gets credit for that one. No, there is no bunny on the Easter cross, Lottie. Oh, you know, we're going to have a lot of good company in hell. But they'll put up a cross and they'll hang a piece of purple drapery or something over it. And they always put the sign, because they're going for authenticity. And this particular cross was just made of a couple of tree limbs. I mean, it was an humble cross. It was a cross for a really bad carpenter. I mean, never mind. So to be authentic, though, you know, the Gospels say that above Jesus' head, they put up a sign that says, I-N-R-I, which, according to the Gospels, is from the Latin, Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaicum. Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. But not the parishioners of the Acme Pentecostal Church. Oh, no. No. I was not okay because I had to do one of those. It wasn't a double take. It was more one of those classic W.C. Fields triple takes. You know, the and you come back and your eyes bug out. Because there at the top of the crucifix, there in front of the Acme Pentecostal Church. It's been a slow Wednesday in Mount Colby, gone. No. There on that sign are the letters I, and I'm so used to seeing it, I-N-R-I, that's why I had to do the triple tip, because they're just to make sure that, oh, maybe the cataracts are kicking in. But no, it says I-R-N-I. I-R-N-I. Ernie with an I. Ernie. Ernie. And then I realized we were dealing with an Appalachian Pentecostal church, so they were probably some form of bizarre fringe apostates. They probably got their doctrine from the Gospel of Jethro, wherein it said, "And behold, they placed a sign above his head, bearing the letters I-R-N-I, meaning, in the language of the place and time, I'm right nailed in." Yeah. Showed the picture to Agnes last night when I got home. And there's just not, there aren't many things in life that bring me greater joy than making Agnes Viking Warrior Princess laugh. And laugh she did. We were there in the bedroom doing the Mike and Carol Brady thing, you know, just sort of there sitting there reading and stuff. And I said, "Oh, by the way, honey," and showed her the picture. And I told her about I'm right nailed in. And Agnes commenced to guffawing. And if you have never seen a fearsome red-headed Viking warrior princess set to guffawing, you have never experienced one of the grander moments of the whole panoply of human existence. And pretty soon, neither of us could breathe worth a damn. We couldn't get our breath. So now I have this entire new gospel doctrine in which, I don't know, maybe all of his disciples, at least the ones that were really close, maybe they just called him Ernie, and the folks there at the Acme Pentecostal Church are the only ones who know it. Ernie. And so when Mary Magdalene would come to visit, the unnamed disciple disclosed within the pages of the Gospel of Jethro, the disciple Uncle Charlie would yell, "Ernie, get that tramp out of here." Yeah, maybe it's not as funny to y'all as it was to me, but oh my God. So naturally, Ferg had to run up and put himself up on it and insisted I take a picture of that too. And yep, Protestant Reformation was a complete, utter, and absolute failure. You see, the Inquisition would have known how to deal with something like that. You just march the Inquisition in. You march all the people out of the Acme Pentecostal Church. You set fire to them, and nobody else is putting up crosses that say IRNI anymore. This is like something that happened 12 years ago when the little store that sits on the side of US 19 as one drives from here toward Beckley. Said something like swap meet every Saturday, not Saturday, but like I forget what it was. Sardy, horribly misspelled. You know, right in the main artery of tourists coming south from Canada and north from might as well put a welcome to West Virginia sign by it. Ernie, Andy, you know, there's more than one person who for a very long time thought that Jesus' other name was Andy. Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me. Then again, I was always a little confused by the Pledge of Allegiance when I was a kid, where it got to that part where it said with little tea and just rice for all. Aye, aye, aye. So there we are with just a little something to ponder. The abject failure, the horrible, miserable failure of the Protestant Reformation. I mean, at this point in time, if it weren't for the fact that I'm pretty sure that Instant Hole is waiting just inside the vestibule, I'd get gussied up in my Sunday best and go down just to hear a sermon. Maybe even get saved. You never know. Because I want to know what the theology is of anybody who puts Ernie above their Easter cross. Could it be like an offshoot of a little known Greek Orthodox sect? I mean, they had their Easter just a couple of weeks ago. That's one of those things the Greek Orthodox and the Orthodox Church and the Roman Catholics can't agree on. I'm sure it was serious enough to have probably somewhere along the way caused the death of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of innocent human beings. The Church was very good about that kind of thing. Thanks, very kindly. Note coming in from Mike in Cascadia. I'll update the PayPal from a new credit card just issued last month, so my $10 subscription continues. I'll kick in $25 also. At work now, we'll do it in an hour or two. Thanks, Mike. Thanks very kindly. And so that means that Let's see what. $620 bucks to go fundraising for the evening. But that's just by way of a little storytelling, and that's the way that's the way it was this week on Mount Colby Gone. Yeah. Oh, if you want to see the interview that I did with Huffington Post. Huffington Post Politics, you can scroll down my Facebook page, and you'll find it there. They were a real pleasure to work with, and we found out that there's actually LTE signal at Hell's Gate on Cayford Mountain. Not surprising that signal would reach there, though, because there's nothing around it anymore. That's one of those things that you kind of have to get your head around when you're standing there. And if you ever want to see, and it's looked far worse than it looks now. They're in the process of reclamation now. So, you know, they buried some streams and created some broad, flat, hot, dusty plains, sprayed on some hydro seed that'll never amount to anything. They got some scrawny-ass black locusts clinging to life on the side of a couple of their slopes, but... according to Margaret Palmer there at the University of Maryland, it'll be a good 100,000 years before what used to be Cayford Mountain is anything resembling part of a meaningful ecosystem. Here's an interesting little tidbit. I want to be properly English about that. Tidbit. You know, mountaintop removal kills off a lot of wildlife. Some wildlife can survive on a mountaintop removal site. You'll see wild turkeys, for instance, things like that. But the little delicate life forms, they don't fare so well. And until I read about it a few weeks ago, I didn't know there was such a thing as a... But there if there wasn't, there needed to be. A cerulean... warbler, C-E-R-U-L-E-A-N, cerulean, warbler. And it's a little sort of roundish blue songbird kind of thing, is on the verge of getting close to extinction. Guess why? Get mountaintop removal. Just can't live on a moonscape, the cerulean warbler. And lo and behold, a couple of weeks ago, some Department of Natural Resources and Department of Forestry folks were talking with some locals in Lincoln County, trying to figure out a strategy for keeping the cerulean warbler from being put on the endangered species list. Because, you know, every time something goes on the endangered species list, that makes it a little bit harder for the predatory sons of bitches who run coal companies to do their filthy business of destroying life and the ability to sustain life in this one of the richest, most biodiverse regions in the world. Temperate rainforest that it is. So, there's that. But anyway, it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and we need to do the obsequies. So we will, we'll get after that. Prayer meeting Wednesday fellowship dinner was, light today, you see, because it was getting right warmish, and we had some thunderstorms roll through, and so when the skies cleared, they decided to have a hamburger barbecue and a weenie roast. So that's what it was, hot dogs and hamburgers with all the trimmings, They did heat up the fry later long enough to do some French fries, tater tots for the youngins, that kind of thing. Store-bought ice cream, not the kind that you have to make the youngins churn before the deacons can eat. Homemade pickles from last season. The bread and butters are awful nice. But the deacons munched on a few of those, and they trundled their bulk up into the parking lot, had a few cigarettes with the sinners, post-prandial, like, you know. Then we sent Sister Carol out to chase them in, and she did, and she ran them in through the vestibule. And past the 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints. And down front here, where I can keep a close eye on them. Uh-huh. And they're standing by. They're waiting. They're ready. And they're going to be passing around those heavy brass plates here in a minute. Well, I had the ringer killed on that thing. Stand by. I wish I had this. Hello? Yeah, let's don't and say we didn't. Representative Evan Jenkins going to have a Medicare event. Anyway, the deacons are standing by, and they're waiting to pass the plates as we begin the offertory hymn. Mm-hmm. So we'll do that. And just remember, keep one eye cracked during the praying and whatnot, so you don't get hit in the head with that big old plate. Sister Heather says, "Coming to prayer meeting lunch sounds good. Should I bring a dish to pass?" Absolutely. Well, no, we only do that for dinner on the ground, Sister Heather. But so we'll call the minister of music forward, and we will. Ask him to lead us in the offertory hymn. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Hallelujah. Glory. I-R-N-I. Amen and amen. We'll begin this here prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. Yes. Glory.
And he said, "It's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes. Because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord."
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, "Amen."
Amen.
Let me hear you say, "Praise the Lord."
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, "I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around."
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, Hudson, Rawson on the river, and a brawl, sue it. I love you. This here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, brother and sister, and I'm calling upon you, ha, glory, to get up off of your seats and onto your feet. Ha, amen. And come on out and come on down that hope. Glory, hallelujah, praise his name, blood red, I'll have, and fall upon your knees at the altar, and lay your, amen, hands upon the subwoofer, and feel the healing rays of common sense, of flowing through you. From the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid. And this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And all brethren and sisters, I tell you what, the persecution of the saints continues. Everywhere you look. Why, consider the persecution of the Reverend Kenneth Kauchek. Kauchek. Maybe it's Kauchek. The heathens and the unbelievers and the persecutors have took out after Reverend Kenneth Kauchek. Now there he was, a long-standing priest in the Roman Catholic Church. And he was recently appointed to minister to little pregnant girls. He was going to be the director of the Gianna House Pregnancy and Parenting Residence in East Pointe, Michigan. Ha, glory. There at the Gianna House Pregnancy and Parenting Residence in East Pointe, Michigan, they take in teenagers and young women who are pregnant, and they assist them and any children that they might later have. Now, don't be mistaken. Don't be thinking that the Gianna House Pregnancy and Parenting Residence in East Pointe, Michigan, provides for them children for life or anything. Oh, no. I mean, Christianity only goes so far. But now there's a whole bunch of malcontents and heathens and hellbound sinners who want Reverend Kauchek not to be the director of the Gianna House Pregnancy and Parenting Residence in East Pointe, Michigan. And why would you go after a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Roman Catholic priest like Reverend Kenneth Kauchek, when all he wants to do is help care for some poor little teenage girls who happens to be pregnant? I mean, after all, the Gianna House Pregnancy and Parenting Residence in East Pointe, Michigan, they said that he would provide a wide range of ideas and skills. I bet you. But you know why they won't keep him from being that director? For a little bit of nothing. Just a little bit of nothing. I mean, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? I mean, we's all sinners here in this vale of tears, ain't we? Well, Reverend Kalchek sinned once. Way back in the 1970s. And heck, the Archdiocese of Detroit only figured this out in 2009, so it couldn't have been that serious to begin with, right? But way back in the 1970s, Reverend Kalchek got taken out of two different churches. Well, I mean, he didn't get taken out of the churches in the 1970s. He kept on the priestifying there in the 1970s. But in 2009, the Archdiocese of Detroit pulled him out of two successive churches. And why? Well, because back in them 1970s, it turned out that he had sexually abused a 16-year-old girl. I mean, really. And that's 40 years ago. Surely to goodness, he can't still sexually abuse 16-year-old girls. But there's David Clohessy, who's with a group called the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. And he said, it's inexcusable for any nonprofit to hire a credibly accused child molesting cleric. A simple Google search would have shown that Father Ken is particularly dangerous and should never be given any position or title that confers respect, much less gives him access to vulnerable people. People are so politically correct and tetchy. On the other hand, the Archdiocese of Detroit director Joe Kahn, he said that Father Kalchek's position at Gianna House violates the restrictions placed on his ministry in 2009. We assert that he should not be allowed to continue in this position. So even the people that cut him a break by not, you know, turning him over to the prosecutor or anything, they think he shouldn't either. But what if he has a calling from God to reach out and minister to those poor little confused, terrified, pregnant girls who might very well benefit from an abortion. Jesus. Ain't going to be no benefiting. I mentioned a little bit ago that way back when the Inquisition knew how to handle a bunch of heretics. Well, let's don't say we didn't, because there's still people out there who would like to form up their own Inquisition and sort of run it themselves and decide who is and who ain't, you know, right with God. Enter, and this really is his name, Maverick Dean Bryan, aged 55, which would make him born about 1961, and I bet so that means he was named after the James Garner character in the TV series. Maverick Dean Bryan. And Maverick Dean Bryan would apparently like to set up his own Inquisition. Only that's not what he's calling it. He's calling it a Christian army. Yes, that's right. That's right, Arthur. Nobody suspects the Spanish Inquisition. Cue Monty Python. Precisely. he was fundraising for his Christian army. And now he's being persecuted by being sent back to jail. Because, see, he was out on bond as of March the 28th. Because he had been charged with 7 counts of mailing threatening communications to mayors in 7 different cities there in Arkansas. Namely, the mayors of Ashdown, Arkansas, Hope, Arkansas, DeQueen, Arkansas, Louisville, Arkansas, Nashville, Arkansas, didn't know there was one, Prescott, Arkansas, and Murfreesboro, Arkansas. In which he told those 7 mayors that he would personally come to their towns and hang those mayors from what he referred to as the Mighty Oaks on their courthouse lawns. Why was he going to do this? Well, he was going to hang those mayors if they didn't force their local school boards to replace the demonic Common Core with the Bible. Yes, yes, yes. The children of Ashdown, Hope, DeQueen, Louisville, Nashville, Prescott, Murfreesboro were all going to have to teach their children math from the Bible. You know, where in the Book of Kings it says that pi is equal to 3. Mm-hmm. And they'd learn spell it out of the Bible. And, you know, that's really helpful because, you know, if you can spell Zerubbabel, I think you've got the rest of it licked. Mm-hmm. And geography? Well, you'd learn geography from the Bible, too. And the entire world can be encompassed from Dan to Beersheba. Science? Well, you can learn about some science because the Bible teaches us that the sun is capable of standing still in the sky, which means that the sun, you know, revolves around the earth. And just for that, they're persecuting him by putting him back in the clink. U.S. District Judge Susan Hickey remarked that Brother Brian, quote, has repeatedly demonstrated his unwillingness to abide by the laws concerning the possession of firearms by a convicted felon. Well, it's not against the law if Jesus don't say so. Jesus never said something about no felons not having guns. Judge Hickey went on and said, defendant has an extensive criminal history involving the possession of firearms. In addition to his 3 previous convictions involving firearms, defendant has admitted that he was impermissibly in possession of a firearm on the day of his arrest. Now, in addition to threatening to hang the mayors, just so we can understand the depth of the persecution of this good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Brother Brian's letter commanded the 7 mayors to dishonor or disallow any votes cast by anyone in their municipalities who is a homosexual, a Muslim, a socialist, a communist, an atheist, or anybody who worships a god other than Jesus Christ. I don't know if this includes God, because, well, then you get into some pretty shifting theological sands, because God is Jesus and Jesus is God and they're both the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's God and Jesus. And look, that just goes back to how we got to teach children from the Bible. God 1 equals Jesus 1 equals Holy Spirit 1, and 1 plus 1 plus 1 equal 1. Wouldn't you love to be the bartender that makes change for this guy? Christian persecution, I'm telling you, it's all over the place. Just all over the place. What else? Well, you remember Robert Louis Deere? Robert Louis Deere is the man. I got to take a break. We will take our top of the hour break now. Here endeth the lesson. And we'll come back to your phone calls. You know the number, 304-574-8178. Or the stress line, 304-663-4676. That's 304-663-HORN, H-O-R-N, 4676. Either one's fine. Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet. Well, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn. And, well, jump right in. And you'll be part of the prayer meeting Wednesday congregation. This is listener-supported conversation radio. We've got $620 to go in fundraising? Yeah. So hopefully we'll take a little bite out of that. We'll be back. I'm Bob.
sat waiting, hot on their blankets in the garden. But God said nothing, so someone asked him, beg your pardon. Not quite clear how could you just want. Is that a parable or a very subtle joke? God, your fault is heat. Blast around. Get them. The people clear their throats. Stand right back.
About 7 minutes past the hour, and thank you very kindly indeed to Kelly for taking us down to $560 to go, $560 to go in fundraising for this evening. Much, much appreciated. Let's see, what else we got here? Because we got some more lunacy. Honestly. Just because Christianity isn't the only thing we celebrate on Prayer Meeting Wednesday, if celebrate could be the right term. Little controversy brewing. That was the Crash Test Dummies. Jay asking who's the bumper performer. That was the Crash Test Dummies from a 1993 album called God Shuffled His Feet, and that was the title track. I love that album. Really smart lyrics and sort of ironic and funny lyrics and that particular. I always got the notion that was taken from Job. Because, you know, there are all kinds of questions for God in Job. And God says, hey, did it because I'm God. I can do that. God. You don't like that answer? Too bad. Maybe I'll send you a plague. Because I love you. God's love, y'all. No, this is a really creepy story. And it goes back a few years. It goes back, in point of fact, to 2013. 25-year-old Taj Patterson. A gay man. Was beaten nearly to death by five men. He's now blind in one eye because the beating left him with a broken eye socket and a torn retina. Mr. Patterson was accused of damaging cars in the Williamsburg neighborhood. And then the five men jumped him and held him down and punched and kicked him before they fled when a passing bus driver stopped and started taking photos. Now, the bus driver had the photos. Witnesses got a license plate from a car that belonged to one of the people doing the beating. And within 24 hours, the NYPD had shut down the investigation marking the case file final. No arrests, closed. Well, as it turns out, it was not closed for Taj Patterson's mama. And she kept raising hell until the cops actually did their jobs and investigated. There's more than a little bit of shades of Trayvon Martin in this, because it turns out the people who did the beating, among them Abraham Winkler, Meyer Herskovic, and Pincus Braver, aged 39, 21, and 19, respectively. Well, they've all been charged with gang assault, false imprisonment, and assault. Charges against the other two men were dropped. They're part of what they call the Williamsburg Safety Patrol, a volunteer Hasidic neighborhood watch gang. They carry walkie-talkies. Sometimes they cruise the neighborhood in cars that they have tried to make look like cop cars. The cops say that they've instructed them that if they see any crime or anything like that, they're supposed to immediately notify them. But they don't, because the group has been accused on more than one occasion of vigilantism. And lo and behold, most of the time that they identify crimes, turns out it's black folks and Latino people. They have their own inside name for who they are. They call themselves the Shamrin. Yeah. Taj Patterson, an art student, and gay. Yeah. And it has taken 2.5 years to even get the NYPD to do its damned job. How about that? Mm-hmm. Oh, and one other thing. Just, you know, call this from the religious freedom files. There was a bit of a breakthrough recently when some Sikhs in the United States military, in the United States Army, sought the right to wear their beards and turbans, which are religious requirements of being a Sikh. Now, you know how I feel about headgear, funny hats, things like that, and almighty creators, but if you're going to have religious freedom, it's got to be religious freedom for everybody. You know, if a Roman Catholic soldier can wear a cross, or a Jewish soldier can wear a yarmulke, then you've got to be open to other people. And the Defense Department said, yeah, absolutely. And this extends even to the military academies, among other things. Like at West Point, cadets are only allowed to wear religious items that are not visible or apparent when in duty uniform, but that they do consider each and every deviation from that policy thoughtfully and carefully on a case-by-case basis. Well, enter enter a young woman who had been accepted to the Citadel in South Carolina. You'll remember the Citadel. This is the same institution of higher learning of honor and integrity, where cadets put on sheets and pillowcases and dress up like the Klan and sing. Yeah, in the last year. So the young woman was accepted to the Citadel, was planning on entering their cadet class this year, and specifically asked for the right to wear her Muslim headgear while she attended the Citadel. Well, as of Tuesday, yesterday, Lieutenant General John Rosa, and remember, the Citadel is not in any wise, you don't have to join them, you don't have to go into the military like you do with West Point or the Air Force Academy or Annapolis, the Naval Academy. You don't have to do that. You can just out of the Citadel and gone. I mean, the Citadel was founded to train a South Carolina militia that could serve, among other things, as, you know, runaway slave hunters. But no, Lieutenant General John Rosa says, nope, not going to let her wear the headgear. They issued a statement saying, while we hope the student will enroll in the college this fall, the Commandant of Cadets, after considerable review, determined the uniform exception cannot be granted. As the Military College of South Carolina, the Citadel has relied upon a highly effective educational model requiring all cadets to adopt a common uniform. Uniformity is the cornerstone of this four-year leader development model. Well, she ain't going to go to the Citadel, I reckon. As Ibrahim Hooper at the Council on American-Islamic Relations pointed out, the American military already allows for religious accommodation. Why not the Citadel? Yeah, well, you know why. Because Muslim. Hey, look, it's our buddy the Angry Indian. Sounding angry. Oh, angry. Angry may not be there right now. Okay, I'll check back in. So, yeah, not so much there. Just since it's prayer meeting Wednesday, one more thing. And I kind of take exception to this. You know that Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton has made a big deal out of her unequivocating opposition to the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. Well, I think I even mentioned the fact that she's making noise about it, trying to prevent the consideration of the issue by her own Methodist Church. Enter Israeli Justice Minister Eilat Shaked, who has now declared that even criticizing Israel, just criticizing Israel, saying anything that somebody in Israel doesn't like, constitutes anti-Semitism. Wow. And of course, stories dealing with Israel are always just minefields. But there's no getting around what Israel has done to the Palestinians. But Eilat Shaked, 39 years old, Minister of Justice in Israel, said, in the past, we saw European leaders speaking against the Jews. Now we see them speaking against Israel. It is the same anti-Semitism of blood libel, spreading lies, distorting reality, and brainwashing people into hating Israel and the Jews. Today it is not politically correct to be anti-Semitic, but being anti-Israel is acceptable. People who have such anti-Semitic views should not be allowed to hold central leadership positions. Anybody trained in formal logic want to try to parse that? Because it will not withstand scrutiny. Anti-Semitism is not the same thing as being opposed to the policies of Israel. Because, among other things, many of Israel's early leaders were secular and not particularly religious Jews. And she's also at odds for instance, with the Anti-Defamation League here in the United States. If you go to their website, the ADL says, "Certainly the sovereign state of Israel and its government can be legitimately criticized just like any other country or government in the world. Criticism of particular Israeli actions or policies, even harsh and strident criticism and advocacy, in and of itself does not constitute anti-Semitism." But if you ever wanted a bit of evidence that Israel has slid slowly but surely into fascism, Eilat Shaked is an exhibit in that. Her words are an exhibit in that argument. Because an actual governmental office holder who says that criticizing her country is the same thing as racial hatred, I think we've seen that movie before. Don't you? Meanwhile, a note coming in from Ron in Raleigh. Ron says, so if I say fuck Bibi Netanyahu, I'm an anti-Semite? According to her, you are. According to people with functioning brains, you're not. And Ron also has, by the way, I have one other question. Why in the name of Allah would that young woman subject herself to the Citadel? I guess Muslims can be masochists too. Yeah. The question occurred to me too. Maybe she wanted to get into a military academy, but wound up having, I don't know. And hey, the angry Indian is back. Hey, angry.
Hey, my man.
What's happening?
Oh, I don't know. you're Muslim, and the entire fucking country is being geared against you. You're a Muslim female, which is already an oppression, because even though if you look at the Quran, you look at the Hadiths and what have you, women are supposed to be treated fairly, equally. And they will brag about how well, you know, Muslim society treats women. They'll point to Benazir Bhutto and they'll say, oh, you know, that wouldn't have happened, you know, in the white West. And I'm like, what about Margaret Thatcher? Well, that's England. That's different. You know, always an excuse. But, you know, why would any, you know, right-thinking young person want to join a military that isn't about defending anything other than the privileges of the,
corporate state?
The Dick Cheneys of the world? Yeah, of the United States anyway. Because, you know, whatever the hell is happening is being caused because of what this country's doing in its policies. I mean, how many military bases are around the planet that belong just to the United States that we know about?
How many?
Yeah, you know, I mean, so what I'm trying to say is if this, you know, individual was intelligent enough to know what all of this is about, and she still decided that, you know, she wants to be a part of this, and she knows that she's Muslim, and she knows full well about the hell that's being rained upon regular everyday Muslims, not these extremist nutcases, just everyday fucking people.
Yeah, people who get up in the morning and get dead by nightfall just because they're there.
on their way to fucking get bread. They killed the whole fucking family. So she knew that when she was going to the fucking Citadel, like you said, if this person is online, been on Facebook or what
have
you.
Do you suppose this might be a kind of a Rosa Parks thing where they sort of maybe targeted the Citadel to try to bring about change?
It's possible. Black people did shit like that. Oh, if we get into the military, you know, we'll earn our place here. That was my father's motherfucking attitude.
Well, wasn't the anniversary of the birth of Martin Delaney just recently?
Refresh my memory.
Black commissioned officer in the regular United States Army rose to the rank of major in the 19th century.
I don't know. I know that the first cat that was drafted in the fucking pick for World War I was Leo Pinckney. He was black. He was the first motherfucker. They said, yeah, you got to go and fight for, Woodrow Wilson and shit over there. Why, the Klan and the fucking the black...
Also known as Woodrow Wilson, fan of that famous novel, The Klansman.
The Klansman. Well, the novel, he showed us the first fucking full
Birth
feature
of a Nation,
film that,
yeah.
that was shown at the White House. You know? This is still, when I was in fucking school, this is what we were told. This was the greatest goddamn American film that was ever made and never will be fucking made. You know?
It was technologically and technically groundbreaking. D.W. Griffith was good at his craft from a technical standpoint, but he also, was a racist and a fan of the Klan.
Well, so was most of the U.S.
It's always been troubling to me. It's the same way that, people like, film school types will say, you really got to sit down. You got to watch Leni Riefenstahl's work. And you go, yeah, but that was disgusting. But she was a brilliant filmmaker.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, though. I can look at Birth of a Nation, not talking about his other films, because he did others. But, this is the one he's known for, Birth of a Nation, right? And I can see the racism, the hatred, the misogyny, blah, blah, blah. The thing with Riefenstahl, though, she just did what the fuck she was told. You don't see any Jews being harmed. You don't see any Rom or Gypsy people being fucked up. You don't see any half Sudanese, half German people being rounded up. You don't see any of that. You just see his fucking army, right? You see his citizenry. You see all the pomp and circumstance of these, egotistical motherfuckers. And everybody is joining in. I've spoken to people who grew up under Nazi Germany, and they said, yeah, we were all drunk on that shit. My father came home in a uniform one day, and I was like, well, when I get mine? I've spoken to people who were Hitler.
Yeah, I forget, who was the designer of the Nazi uniforms? I mean,
some of them, Hugo Boss, but they were ultimately the actual designs of, by Hitler. Hitler was an artist. And he told Hugo exactly what he wanted, and they worked on those together. But, Boss is the one who worked them out and for the general field uniforms. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Well, why not? I mean, Saab, Fiat. I mean, who the fuck was it?
Coco Chanel was a collaborator.
Henry Ford was a fucking collaborator. The Bush family were fucking collaborators. That's how they made their money.
We do like our fascism, don't we?
What was it, the Harriman?
Brown Brothers Harriman, sure.
Yeah, the fucking line,
busted for under the Trading with the Enemy Act, yes.
Yeah, but then compensated after the fucking war. Dig that.
It's a beautiful thing.
Joe Kennedy, what the fuck was he doing? He bought his way into politics. He was a bootlegger. What is it, Cutty Sark, that the Kennedy family still gets a buck for, if that's even true. But, he was a bootlegger. He knew Meyer Lansky and all those motherfuckers by name. He knew them by handshake. But he bought his sons into politics. He said, we're going to have some Irish Catholics in this motherfucker. He had to work some fucking magic because he was the first. When you ever hear about an Irishman ever being sent to be ambassador to the court of St. James?
Some think that was FDR just having, you know, kind of having a little bit of fun, but yeah, I get that. And of course, mentioning Joe Kennedy, we can sort of bring West Virginia into the conversation, because we had a very bizarre primary yesterday here.
Yeah. This whole fucking circus is bizarre.
Honest to God, no. We will not diminish West Virginia's because we win the booby prize. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of voter suppression in Arizona, and that was a nightmare, and probably some more than a little bit of skullduggery going on in New York, people being purged from roles and such like that.
Yeah,
but no. when you've got people showing up the polls going, yeah, I'm voting for Bernie. Hot damn, I'm feeling the burn, at least till November when I vote for Trump. And that's 39% of the Sanders voters. Dig it.
Well, they can see the writing on the wall, you know. Look, it's just like with most elections. You got people who, you know, they're thumping their fucking Bibles and they're going to vote for, you know, Sarah Palin, hoping that she's going to be the VP because she wants everybody to know that she's qualified. You betcha, you know. So fucking, you know, her and Trump, it'll be what happened to fucking McCain and her.
But you know, hold the phone, because and I, like I said, I know I'm in the minority saying this, but I will not be surprised. Okay, I'll at least couch it in those terms. I will not. I hope to goodness, if she's the nominee, and I'm still hoping she isn't, because I want a Democrat in the White House in November. I want a Democrat to follow up on the policies of Barack Obama to the extent that they need following up on. But I will not be surprised if she blows it and Trump is the president come January 20th, 2017. And I think I just put myself off of breakfast, dinner, my snack tonight, and lunch tomorrow. Just even saying that angry.
Well, you got to hear what they're saying in Europe and in Australia about this shit. You know, I mean, they're terrified. You know, I mean, Mexico isn't fucking happy at all, and Canada doesn't seem like it's fucking on.
I saw a funny little graphic the other day. It said, Mexico agrees to pay for building of wall, but only as long as they are the pre 1794 borders.
Oh yeah, well. See, in that case, Trump will want to go to war, and he'll want to go nuclear. So,
I mean, do you think that stupid bastard is dumb enough to like send troops into Mexico? Is he stupid enough to start a war?
That's
a loaded question, because we've already had somebody in the White House who was stupid enough to start an offensive war.
Well, Obama? How many wars has he started? I mean, you know, look. I mean, really. We're in such a politically fucked up, you know, situation right now that is really not funny. And what makes this so bad is this is the fucking number one superpower. So, you know, I've said it, you know, before, and I've written about this. You know, Obama was chosen, you know, because Hillary Clinton could not be fucking trusted. She fucked herself up with that goddamn Bosnia lie and then the crocodile tears incident. And then this, her general ineptitude when asked direct fucking questions. So, you know,
what are the generals going to say, and the admirals, when she says, no, boys, I'm serious. I want boots on the ground in Syria, and I want a no-fly zone.
Well,
are they just going to snap a salute? I mean, and the same thing applies to Trump. Are they just going to snap a salute?
Well, you could say that about Sanders. You know, frankly, I mean, he has no military experience whatsoever. You know, Donald Trump wants everybody to know that he went to military school. So that's exactly the same thing as actually serving in the motherfucking military.
No, really, seventh freaking grade, you know, or some military academy high school? Oh, dear.
Hey, you got a lot of wannabe fucking soldiers out here. You got a lot of wannabe cops out here. You got a lot of wannabe tough guys. a lot of wannabe mercenaries and hitmen and shit. All the fucking nonsense you see in these goddamn movies. You got fuckers that really are living in their heads like this. And that's who's fucking that's who Trump is appealing to. He's appealing to the fucking little punk ass bullies who need to fucking have a goddamn sidearm to go get a fucking soft drink. That's who he's appealing to. And you know, I was saying earlier, we're religion. You know, this woman who wants to, this Muslim woman, this, you know, sister, I suppose, you know, I'm thinking, you know, wants to go to the Citadel. Okay. You want to be part of this industry of motherfucking imperialism? Then go right the fuck ahead. But you know what the fuck it's all about. So why are you, you know, like wondering, oh my God, I don't know why they're doing this to me. You're a Muslim serving in the fucking army that's out here doing damage to people. Not necessarily because they're Muslim, but they're certainly using that bullshit as a fucking excuse and why it's justified to fucking do what they're doing. Take the fucking oil, wipe out Palestinians and shit, and then, you know, you're anti-Semitic if you point out that Israel is wiping out Palestinians. There's two goddamn specific laws, you know, to prevent interracial dating and marriage. I mean, they just finished getting caught and admitted to officially sterilizing all these goddamn Ethiopian immigrants who are Jews. Okay, you know, but they're the number one goddamn democracy in the Middle East, right? They're the number one fucking democracy. So, you know, it is, you know, we got this kind of conundrum going on, and this person is going to say with a straight face, oh, I don't know why the Citadel doesn't want me to come in here. They do Klan parties and shit once a motherfucking year, but I don't know why they don't want me to wear my, it's not a burqa anyway, it's a fucking hijab.
Yeah,
but I don't know why they don't want me to do this. See, you know, that's just craziness. You know, so yeah, it might be a Rosa Parks moment because the Muslim community politically has their shit together. I would like to say that about black folks, and I would love to say that about native folks, but it ain't there. And there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, COINTELPRO, you know, assassinations of a lot of our goddamn leaders and shit. You know, the framing of other goddamn people. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. Lenin Peltier is still sitting in there. Mumia Abu-Jamal is still sitting in there. There are political ramifications and histories behind all of this shit. But nobody wants to discuss that. But we'll talk about political prisoners some fucking place else. You know, so, you know, this particular sister, I really think personally is out of her fucking mind. But she can do what she wants. You know, I mean, just like with gay folk. Oh, you know, we got to be in the military. Well, you're already in the fucking military. Well, I want to be open. I want to have my husband come to the base and kiss me as I ship out. All right. Well, you know, that's cool. But you knew when you were going into the fucking military, what kind of environment you were fucking getting into. So, all right. So go ahead and fucking do that. So now that you're out there and you're part of the fucking imperialist machine, do you feel free yet? There's a bunch of black transgender women that are being fucking murdered left and goddamn right around here. There's no fucking freedom. You know, there's Indian people being fucking crucified out here. They're still killing our goddamn people. No fucking freedom. And a black man can't even look in a fucking cop's direction without getting his fucking neck broken and then being blamed for what the fuck happened. And I'm not even going to get into fucking Tamir Rice. You know, while we got this affluenza motherfucker, kills four people, drunk. Oh, well, he doesn't understand what he was doing because he was white and rich. And, you know, we got to take that into account. I mean, you know, what about him? Oh, okay, so we're just making this life for him as fucking possible so we don't embarrass the court, basically. And then he absconds to fucking Mexico with his mother, and they're still giving him a fucking break. You know, just like I talked about it before, there was this executive somewhere in the Midwest. He paralyzed this fucking guy, ran right into him. I think he ran off and shit, paralyzed this motherfucker, ruined his goddamn life. Well, we can't do anything to him. Why not? Well, it would ruin his career as a moneymaker if we actually did anything to him. So we'll give him, you know, we're going to give him a Don Blake and shit deal, except, you know, we're not going to actually put him in there because if we put him in there, he can't make any money. You know, it's like with Don Blankenship, Blakenship, whatever the fuck his name is. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, you got people out here who, how many people died in that goddamn mine, Brother Bob?
Well, how many people have died over the course of, you know, a century?
I mean, at 1 year, right?
Well, no, I mean, there's probably 100,000 dead in the last 100 years. 1,000 miners still die a year of black lung. But they don't die, you know, they die gasping and alone, maybe with a family member by their side in a hospice situation or maybe in a hospital. the industry has known that black lung was a real thing for 80 years, at least. And just like the tobacco companies and just like the oil companies, you know, just denied the science. It, 29 men at Upper Big Branch. I think 13 at the Sago mine. And you know, at the same time, they have the nerve to say, you know what, we just need less regulations.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, we've got a no kidding coal baron billionaire who's got an even 50-50 chance of being the next governor. And he's a Democrat. And he's a racist. And he's a moron. And he's probably going to endorse Donald Trump, at which point in time the Democratic Party could just, in this state at least, can just fold its tents and disappear into the mist.
Well, it might as well anyway, because, I mean, think about the timing. Here, did they finally get Don Blankenship at this particular time, right? And then, you know, this cat that you're talking about comes up. They had to, you know, somebody had to take a fall. So they decided that they were going to serve him up and got him off, you know, in such a way that he'll do this year in one of the, you know, the
oh, well, we now
places.
We now know where he's, well, we've got, we now at least know what state he's going to do his year in, by the way.
Oh, he's not going to do it in West Virginia?
Oh, hell no. We don't know what facility, but he's going to do it in California, and it ain't going to be no Pelican Bay.
See, you know,
because remember, he's an official resident of the state of Nevada. His lawyers have just filed a motion for an emergency stay of his sentencing, which has already taken place. But he was due to report to prison tomorrow, and they filed, saying, in view of Mr. Blankenship's prison surrender date, the day after tomorrow, this was yesterday, a stay is appropriate here, unless the court, talking to the Fourth United States Circuit Court of Appeals, unless the court will resolve the pending motion for release tomorrow, an administrative stay is needed to provide the court with time to rule on the motion, and if the court grants the motion, to preserve the court's ability to provide full relief. In other words, don't make him spend a day behind bars.
I mean you see Brother Bob, what's getting me about this, I think about, you know, and because look, I'm talking to mostly white folks here. Chelsea Manning, why is Chelsea Manning where she is? What are the conditions, you know, from when they took her into fucking custody and to probably what the fuck is going on now? They were abusing this young person. They tried to make her go fucking mad. They had him strip, him at that time, stripped nude in a military goddamn joint when all of the other fucking inmates were clothed for the morning roll call. You know, the European Union took note of that. Nothing was done about it, of course, but they took note of that. And then I can think about the people I know personally who wrote a bad check for $10 and did 18 goddamn years. You know, to get hit with 8 years first, and then some shit happened, and then they added on more fucking time and kept adding on more fucking time. And Don Blankenship is responsible for fucking the loss of life. Nothing. You know, theoretically speaking. Right. But, you know, they had to go through the legal maneuvers to serve somebody up to get the public to say, yeah, okay, well, they got that motherfucker. They're going to do something about it so that they could, you know, divert public attention. That's my analysis. I could be wrong, but.
Well, I don't think you are. But I'm not at all comfortable with I mean, I see this stuff up close and personal here in West Virginia, angry. I see the bigotry. I see the hatred. okay? I see the racism. I mean, as we, you know, I saw, it was sweet, really. As we were driving toward Kayford yesterday, I saw where somebody had just taken out an old piece of maybe paneling and painted it white. And then just with some black paint, wrote the word Bernie on it and stuck it in their yard. Because there were no yard signs around here. But you go on down the road a little bit, and you get two or three Trump signs sitting in front, angry, sitting in front of shacks, okay?
Shacks, yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking about houses that you and I might... I don't look down my nose at anybody that's got a roof over their head, because there's too damn many people in this country who don't.
Mm-hmm.
But these were shacks. And living in these shacks were people who have been breathing poison boiling off of mountaintop removal sites right over their heads for a decade. And they were, by God, going to run, not walk, not crawl, to the polls to vote to make America great again. And at the risk of sounding like an elitist, which I am not and do not wish to sound like, I want to know from one of those people living in one of those shacks what a great America again is to them. Because see, where these shacks were angry is in a place that used to be a thriving community. So maybe that's what they mean by make America great again. They're going to have a thriving community with four or five churches and a couple of grocery stores and a bank and a movie theater and a union hall. You know, where you know, it wasn't always just union meetings. Maybe it'd be an open door barn dance on Saturday nights. That's the America they want again.
Yeah, but you're talking about 1950s television.
No, I'm talking about what really existed there.
Well, in that particular location. Yeah, no, see, I get what you mean.
But the thing is, all of those buildings I just named, it's just a wide, grassy spot by the side of the road now. There's only one building remaining up against the side of the hill, and that's probably the ruins of maybe the engine house for the pumps and the electricity and the fans for the mine whose drift mouth is just down the road. Okay, that place really existed, and it all had to be gotten rid of when they blew up Kayford Mountain. And if you go on Google Earth, you'll find, you just go down into Kanawha Boone County, and you'll see Kayford Mountain. And there's no there. I mean, there's a cemetery there where the bones lay of a man who was the first one of the first white settlers. Y'all got to put white in front of that, because you know they were dispossessing a hell of a lot of indigenous people. And he's had boulders thrown on top of him from errant explosions from where they were blowing up that mountain, and literally clouds of poison boiling down onto those communities, and the communities had to be gotten rid of because they were in the way of the profits of some banks in Frankfurt and Paris and Amsterdam and New York and London and some Wall Street types. And some coal barons. And one of those sons of bitches, one of those coal barons, is probably going to be the governor of the state of West Virginia. The same guy who, you know, made that comment about, our people, our African American people, just last week. And see, this is what I'm getting at. This is what I was getting at when I was talking with Chris last Friday, when I said that Appalachian people have to come to terms with their own reality. I mean, it may sound like a simple statement, but it is about the most complex thing you can say about this region. Because, you know, when do we look up here angry and say, hey, it's never going to be that again? They're not going to come along and see all these towns that people get weepy over, including me, where you know, there were close-knit families and communities and everybody knew everybody's business. Sounds kind of East German to me when you put it that way. But they were tight-knit communities because they all shared a common bond of shared sacrifice, so that you know, rich millionaire could have lobster, you know, for midnight snack as well as breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We get misty about that, but the only reason those communities ever existed, the only reason there was ever 100,000 people in McDowell County, West Virginia, is because the millionaires had come there to exploit the region and needed some people to exploit along the way. And so even when we get misty-eyed about the gone communities, the communities were only there in the first place, in many instances, because the coal industry came there. But in a place like Cayford, well, I mean, it really was a community because settlers settled there before the first scrap of coal ever came out of the ground. And so I wish I had an overall précis on how to help Appalachia come to grips with its own reality. But I don't, you know, it's not helpful to come here and talk about climate change when your kid can't get a job that has more than 20 hours a week with it and pays more than minimum wage. You know, that's why there was some considerable resonance to what Bernie was talking about. And a lot of the people, I guess, who voted for Bernie in the primary were going, well, yeah, I mean, we've been abused. But the billionaire is going to make us great again. Bernie's right, but he's the guy who can get it done. And just trying to march through that one, we'll drive you half mad, angry.
Well, I mean, if you're a rational person, it'll drive you upset. But see, that's the thing. Nothing is monolithic. But, you know, all right, well, let's talk about the oddly monolithic, the whole idea of anti-Semitism. You know, I mean, I don't even like to use the term any fucking more, for the simple fact that if you're Arab, you're also Semitic. If you're from Malta, you're Semitic. You know, this idea that the Ashkenazim, you know, Jew represents all of Judaism is fucked up, and it's real. And anyone who tries to tell you that that's not true is full of shit. I mean, there was a chapter of the Black Panther Party in the 1960s in Israel, made up of Arab Jews, you know, Mizrahi and Sephardim people. Because they were not accepted. They're still not fucking fully accepted by the white mainstream. You know, so that whole idea that, you know, if you criticize us politically, then you're criticizing us racially. You know, well, then don't be offended when we call you the Jewish state in Levant. Oh, well, that's anti-Semitic. How is that? Well, we're a democracy. But if you're a democracy, then why are you making a racial argument? Well, we're not making a racial argument. We're a Jewish state. But I just confirmed that. No, you didn't. You made a Judeo-phobic statement. And it's like, you know, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, if you take that and then look at what the fuck you just told me about what's going on in Appalachia with this vote with Bernie. Because, I mean, yeah, a lot of working folks, oh, okay, well, he's talking about what really affects me. That I can look around my own community and see. I have a sense of how this part of Appalachia fits with the rest of the country. Yeah, we're really doing bad, but there's other spots that are here that are doing bad. He has the policies. He'll address such and such and such. I'm going to vote for him. But at the same time, I like the fact that Trump doesn't like niggas. And I respect the fact that fucking, you know, the Klan has stepped up and endorsed him. And he hasn't rejected their endorsement. You know. So it's a lot of bullshit because, you know, here, like I said, you have these Israelis. Oh, yeah, well, we're a democracy and da, 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 da. But, you know, the Palestinians need to go because they're occupying our land. But didn't your mother, isn't your mother Yeke? Isn't your mother from Germany? Wasn't she a German Jew who came over, who immigrated after the fucking European Holocaust? This is our fucking land. You hate Jews. Fuck you. But, right? Well, no one's having a real discussion about anything. Like you're saying, Appalachia doesn't really want to look at its history. Well, United States doesn't want to look at its history.
Well, we don't mind looking at our history as long as we get to look at our history the way we want to see it.
Yeah,
and then it goes from being history to being myth.
Well, yeah, but see, but that's not just a problem with, you know, say, white racist America. That's the problem with black inside America, you know, and that's the problem with Native Americans inside America. You know, the whole idea of the Red Road and, you know, what an Indian is supposed to be. Now, there's white people that have their fucking movie version, you know, their John Wayne, John Ford type of, you know, stoic Indians and shit. Who are, you know, monosyllabic and don't really have anything to fucking say, just stand tall and don't scream when we get shot or fucking chopped up or whatever, right? You know, we don't make it, we die.
Stoic is often used as is taciturn.
You know, and we have a lot of young people who are committing suicide because, believe it or not, they watch and grow up fucking looking at Pocahontas and bullshit too. You know, and all this other fucking crap hole that comes down the pike too. Just like I did. So, you know, they can't live up to that motherfucking warrior bullshit. There's a reason why so many fucking young Native Americans join the military, have always joined the fucking military. To have some sense of place. Well, I can't do what we used to do because these fucking white guys have come over and taken over every fucking thing. And now we have to, you know, we got outhouses on the inside of our houses now. Everything is fucking different. So what's left? Well, here's this white recruiter coming along with the priest that's like, yeah, well, you can still be a warrior and shit. But we weren't warriors. We used to fish. You know, it's a big joke ever since smoke signals come out. We were not warriors. We were fishermen. But see, to the average fucking, you know, white person and to a lot of Indians who are really removed and cut off from their culture, we were all warriors. That's all we did. And that's how they recruit Native people. And what did it tell black folks? Because I've been through this bullshit. Do you know about the famous so-and-so? He was a black soldier. He did this, that, and the other. You know, not a lot, a lot. And they start naming all this shit off and start talking about Buffalo soldiers. And it's like, you know, for me being Native, I'm like, but Buffalo soldiers were fighting Indians. Well, the Indians were trying to do this, that, and the other. And it's like, man, I don't want to hear any fucking more of this. But this is how they try to recruit you. You know, I mean, I've known a couple of fucking guys and they said, oh, you know, Badugal. Yeah. And he says, oh, Scott. He goes, yeah. Well, you know, Scots are really tough people, man. They have a history of warrior, you know, warriorship. And, you know, and he just laying out all this historical bullshit. They play on you, right? To fuck, you know, get you to think that if you somehow engage in this, you're part of something big because it's all bigger than you and la, 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 la. Trump, again, appeals to that type of bullshit. Modi in India appeals to that type of bullshit. Duarte in fucking the Philippines just got in. Who promises to kill 10,000 fucking people this year. He was just voted in popular goddamn vote. This is the Philippines, which the United States considers his 51st fucking state.
Yeah, that's not going to work very well. But it's going to work very well. Yeah, it'll work well enough because those are not the people whose coups against whom we support. I cannot get Honduras off my mind angry.
And you notice that Hillary Clinton can't even mention Beto Caceres' name. But she would if she thought that'd get her a fucking vote.
Oh, speaking of which, did I read this right? That there's a millionaire Trump voter, or not? No, there's a millionaire Cruz donor who has now given Hillary something like $7 million.
I haven't heard that.
Gave like $13 million to Cruz. Realized, you know, well, that was some money pissed away. Been better off playing three card Monty with that. But has given $7 million to Hillary Clinton.
I'm not surprised.
Did I also read correctly that they are now engaged in a campaign to solicit money from Bush donors? Did I get that right?
I heard. That I heard. Yeah. That I heard. But again, why are we surprised? Brother Bob, you and I have talked about it on this show. People can go through the archives.
Isn't she pivoting before the eggs are hatched?
No, not really. Rupert Murdoch gave her $10 million in 2008, or for the 2008 contest. And then when he realized that, hey, you know, she's not going to fucking get it, he switched over to the Republican. But he was down with Clinton from the beginning. There have always been Republicans, moderate Republicans, liberal Republicans, who have been down with the Clintons because they know what the Clintons are really about. Making money. Making money. You know, paying as little as goddamn possible. I mean, I don't know if you heard about this. Trump just came out a couple of days ago talking about he's against any sort of minimum wage altogether. And Clinton does not support $15.
No. She supports it as a states' rights issue.
And
anytime states' rights comes into the equation, I start quivering.
Yeah, that's some bad language.
But it is some bad language. And the thing is, it's $15 an hour 15 years from now.
Yeah.
Sorry, not yelling at you. And it's not 15 years from now. It's 5 years from now.
Which might as well be 15 years from now. Because
or 7 years from now. When that $15 an hour will be worth $8 an hour today.
You know. And see, it is a problem, though, economically speaking, you know, when you look at it from the terms of small business people, because they will have to reach into, you know, their coffers in order to be able to match this. And I've spoken to some people because I asked. I said, what's going to happen if you have to end up paying 15? And they're like, well, you know, it would be really hard that people deserve it, but I frankly don't know how I'm going to stay in business. I might have to, like, let a few people go. Just to be able to compensate. And that's a real situation. But that's not the situation for Walmart. That's not the situation for any of these big box places. That's not the situation for like a Macy's, you know, Bon Marché, whatever the fuck, you know, because I believe they bought each other. One bought the other, what have you. You know, it's not Nordstrom out here, right? You know, it's not a thing for them. It would just be the price of business. You know, but I mean, look at the fucking airline corporations. They tax the customer for every goddamn thing. But the small business person, they got to go into their pocket. You know, why is the public still paying for Dick Cheney's motherfucking health care? He's a billionaire.
How long are we going to be paying off that heart?
I don't fucking know, but why are we paying for that at all? Why are we paying for Israel, who is still fucking saying, you're not giving us enough. We want more money. We got people here fucking living in their goddamn vehicles if they have a goddamn car. We got families, I've seen this shit, living on the fucking street. But Israel, oh, well, you got to give us more money. We're already giving you money. Well, you got to give us more money. Pay for your own goddamn genocide. You want to fucking have a racist...
So could America's homeless convert and move?
Hey, you know what? Israel would take him in under the right of return. Because they've been stretching the rules. I could fucking go to Israel now and make a claim. Because technically, you know, it was my grandfather. You know, it's not matrilineal. I mean, it's matrilineal, but her dad was the Jewish cat who was really in my family just the white guy, right? he was just the white guy, you know.
I know.
You know, and motherfucking, they're pulling everybody. They're going to India looking for Jews now. They finally accepted the Ethiopians and the other Falashas. But, you know, at the same time, they're fucking sterilizing the women so that they can't reproduce. And then you have, you know, motherfuckers in the Knesset talking about we have to limit Palestinian births. This shit is documented. Netanyahu.
No. Well, and that's the, you know, that's the thing about what's her name, the justice minister, what she said. Arthur pointed out a little bit ago that, oddly enough, there are more critical views of Israel inside Israel itself than are tolerated in the U.S.
That's true. That's true. The majority of the literature that I could point out that is, you know, not 100% pro-Palestinian, but reasonable, objective, and fair, and recognizes the fact that there were people here before we got kicked out of Europe. And yes, there were always Jews living in the region. Of course, there were always Jews living in the region, but they did not dominate the goddamn politics there. You know, so this shit is crazy. But you will find journalists in Israel who, at great personal risk, I might add, in a lot of cases, you know, and Haaretz, Jerusalem Post is conservative, but Haaretz, you know, that they're about as fair, I suppose, as you're going to get for something that's not considered radical. Or you can go over to Ynet, and if you look at the Hebrew only, you look at it, you know, go through a translator and what have you. You know, it's some pretty harsh stuff. But then you got the, the Times of Israel. It's like the ultra-conservative news thing. And they're actually way fairer than, say, the, and I'm going to say this, the New York Times. You know, I mean, even the BBC has become really questionable now with this reportage in terms of Israel, in terms of their own fucking sex scandals they're having right now with the Tory party. And the Jimmy Savile and Rolf Harris cases. I mean, it's fucking Margaret Thatcher, you know, turns out was covering up for a lot of these, some senior ministers that were involved with young people. It's just fucking outrageous that the BBC knew this and didn't fucking report it.
And, just to go off on a tangent for a minute, you were talking about Indigenous America a minute ago. Are you aware that one of the most exalted of T. Rump's foreign policy advisors, such as they are, has gone off on a paranoid ramble about how there's a conspiracy between Muslims,
yeah,
and Native Americans,
yeah,
to build nuclear weapons.
Uh-huh. And it's not the first time that that's popped up. I mean, the first time I heard it, someone was trying to, on a blog several years ago, was trying to connect the American Indian movement, or what's left of it, to some Muslim front for Al-Qaeda or what have you.
And the funny thing is, this is all over a dam in Montana.
Well, they got to find a way to discredit the native people who are trying to fucking protect their land and their interests.
There was a dam built in the 1930s on tribal land. A tribally owned company called Energy Keepers, Inc. bought it from Northwestern Energy for $18.3 million. And now an argument is being made, and this is like when the acid kicks in. The Center for Security Policy, which is an anti-Islamic organization, via a guy named Joseph Schmitz, a former Pentagon Inspector General, whom T. Rump named as one of his five foreign policy advisors. Schmitz joined in with Lawrence Kogan, and they filed a lawsuit to block the transfer of the dam to Energy Keepers, Inc. And their rationale for doing it, I kid you not, chew right through the hockey pucks, y'all, is that if the transfer goes through, there will be a national security threat from Turkey. Yeah, see, when I get one of those big sighs from you, Angry, I know I've scored. That's right up there with making you laugh.
Well, I mean, you know, Turkey buying oil from ISIS.
No. So the Turkish government and terrorists are going to get nuclear materials because Energy Keepers bought the dam. And really, that's pretty much it. They say it is quite possible that the Turkish government-sponsored Turkish business enterprises and affiliated terrorist groups or members may be seeking access to such expertise for possible acquisition and use of incendiary devices to compromise Kerr Dam and or other off-reservation targets. What really drives them crazy is that when Energy Keepers, Inc. bought the dam, they renamed it to... And God only knows what this... I'll butcher the pronunciation. I don't mean to. The Seliis Kasanka Klispe Dam. And instead of it being the Kerr Dam, and it's driven these freaks right around the bend. Joseph Schmitz, T-Rump's foreign policy advisor, says, he has said in the past, and this is a quote, "Multiculturalism, political correctness, misguided notions of tolerance, and sheer willful blindness have combined to create an atmosphere of confusion and denial in America about the current threat confronting the nation."
Man, fuck Trump.
No, this is what we're facing. I mean, this is real. Meanwhile, another one of these jokers is saying that Donald Trump will stop the precipitous decline of whites in America.
Oh yeah, that's what it's all about.
As a guy who's so damn pale, I burn under the refrigerator light bulb. I'm a little curious about this decline of whites, because the last I checked, the vast majority of governors of states are white. The vast majority of the members of Congress are white. The majority of legislatures are white. The huge majority of wealth in this country is controlled by white folks. Where's the decline? I mean, do these guys just happen to go out to Cracker Barrel and they see Gammy and Gampy sitting with their little multiracial grandbaby and, Jesus, it's the decline of white people?
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. When these fuckers were talking about take it back, come on, man. We all knew what the fuck they meant. We all knew what the fuck that was about. Take it back from the nigger. You know, the niggers are in charge. I remember there were white people right here in fucking Portland, goddamn Oregon, who were crying in the street when fucking Obama got in, talking about the niggers are going to get us.
While we're there, you remember how notorious self-defecator Ted Nugent declared that if Barack Obama was reelected, he would be dead or in prison?
I don't recall exactly, but that sounds like some bullshit he'd say.
Yeah, he said that. And so he's back. And maybe he's trying to get charged with something, because this is pretty gross. He tweeted out an animated graphic. It was a modification of a CNN Democratic debate, okay? And it's an exchange where Bernie and Hillary are both in the same shot. And it's where she was talking about, I don't think gun violence is a laughing matter, after she had spent like 30 minutes laughing at everything he said. And in the animation, Bernie pulls out a pistol and shoots Hillary in the heart. Now, he's going to be delivering a, because we're coming up on that time. He's going to be delivering an address at the NRA's annual clavern called 2016 Election, do or die for America and freedom. An early release quote says, "The Obama, Clinton, liberal Democrat gang is maniacal in their attack on all things individual rights, truth, logic, common sense, and the American way. Are there enough of us willing to do battle with these evil forces?" Is the NRA isn't a 501c3, is it? It's just a straight up corporate predator, right?
I don't know. That's a good question, Ashley. I mean, that could be found out pretty quickly, I suppose. But no, I don't know. But I know they get to do what the fuck they want to do. You can have a mass shooting in a town, and they're like, "Hey, we're going to hold a rally."
Okay, let's put it this way. If you or I, or anybody in the Horn Family Community Congregation, put out an animation showing Hillary Clinton being shot through the heart, there would be a really humorless Secret Service agent in a white shirt and a skinny black tie muttering into his wrist on our stoop yesterday.
Well, that's you. They'd have been on your stoop. They'd have shot my black ass on sight.
Yeah, that's right. They would have just blown you. They would have just blown you away. But if you're Ted Nugent, you can just do this.
Yeah, if you're Ted Nugent, you can do this. If you're the Canadian police, I forget which.
He introduced the clip that he put up on Twitter by saying, "I got your gun control right here, bitch."
Yeah, you can get away with that if you're of the class, if you're of the group, if you're of the privileged motherfucking sector, that can get away with that kind of shit. You had police officers in Florida and two other fucking states that were found to be using the mugshots of black men for target practice.
Oh, yeah, saw that.
And in Canada, I don't know which particular province this was, but a native sister, Del Schilling, her and her husband have their own Native American talk radio show that's very good, Native America Calling. She put out a post on Twitter yesterday, showing a poster that they were using for target practice of a Native American woman. It said, First Nations radical. Because, according to the Canadian intelligence services, according to Canadian law enforcement, all First Nations people, all Indigenous people within Canada are considered to be potential terrorists. Because they don't like the fact that natives will stop the trains. They'll stop all of the fucking traffic. They'll close a bridge down nonviolently when their rights are being impinged. And when you have 11 people trying to commit suicide within a goddamn week or a month or whatever it is in one community, they took over the fucking health centers and forced the goddamn prime minister to come down. The native people up there in the fucking north kick ass. The native people in Mexico protest and fight all the time. They kick ass. Here in the middle, we're pacified like a motherfucker. To the point where you got black people who are forgiving.
Oh, I know some that aren't.
Well, we all know some that aren't, but one or two people don't make a motherfucking movement.
When an entire determined group of indigenous people can stop a coal mine and a giant mountaintop removal operation in its tracks, ice cold. That means something.
No, yeah, it means something, and it happens, but there's no nationwide movement. And I'm pretty sure those folks asked for help nationwide, and if I saw a post from them, I'm sure I passed it on. But the thing about it is...
That's the thing. They pretty much did it by themselves.
They did it by themselves. See, that's what I'm talking about. Because the left does not like...
The Sierra Club couldn't come in there and fundraise on their backs.
Well, thank you. So I don't even have to get into the Sierra Club in this type of bullshit.
Oh, no, I'm so done.
I'm tired of those motherfuckers, man. But what I'm trying to get to, though, in terms of actual, real fucking politics. Remember, I read Kissinger's books. in terms of reality. Black folks, Native folks in the United States have no political power. We might have some brown faces here and there, but because there's no underlying fucking unifying sense of self, of group self, we can't get anything fucking done. So that local community was able to rally because they realized if they didn't fucking do something, they were fucked. And they fucking got up and they stood up. The Mohawks and so on either side of the fucking border, stand up. I mean, they've had armed conflict with the goddamn authorities up there. There are pockets, but the point is, nobody can get their shit together on a coast to coast basis. And there's a lot of fucking reasons for that. And you know, even though I'm sounding harsh, I'm trying not to be unfair. But the bottom line is, when we look at the Democratic Party, for example, say versus the fucking Republicans, the Republicans will walk into hell with both goddamn eyes open if they think they can get a fucking blowjob on the other side. All right. They just follow each other like the fucking elephants and shit that they are, right? Just keep fucking following, go one after the other down the fucking trail. They will vote Republican no matter what.
Right, and that's what scares me to death about November if Hillary's the nominee. All this pussyfooting, all this, you know, I might support him, but not yet, from the likes of Paul Ryan.
Oh, fuck Paul Ryan.
No, that's so much dreck.
Dreck.
Yeah. Because the fact of the matter is, come November, they will have a common enemy, and the common enemy's name will be Hillary Clinton, and you can bet your last damn nickel, Angry, that son of a bitch George Bush, and the other son of a bitch George Bush, and that son of a bitch Dick Cheney, and that son of a bitch Rumsfeld, and all the other sons of bitches will go to the polls and they will dutifully vote for Donald damn Trump.
Because he is a strong man, he will have the fucking power, and that's what the fuck these...
And they get
these
off on that.
Are attracted to.
That's by the way, you mentioned Kissinger. Sometimes it's hard to just get out of the damn bed in the morning. The Obama administration, via its Department of Defense, had war criminal Henry Kissinger over at the Pentagon yesterday, the 9th. Why? To award Kissinger its highest honor, the Award for Distinguished Public Service.
Yeah, well, Pinochet can't talk anymore, right? Rios Montt, he's not going to say anything. His generals aren't going to say anything. Anybody who's still left from that fucking period, they're dealing drugs and all that kind of shit and smoking fucking cigars on the states down in South America, scattered and littered and shit, living next door to fucking Nazis who are down there, you know.
No, but I want to say that again, Angry. The Obama administration just gave a Distinguished Public Service Award to Henry Kissinger. That was the Obama administration. You know, not the Bush administration. The Obama administration. You know, Hillary Clinton's mentor, Henry Kissinger, murderer of Cambodians, murderer of Vietnamese, murderer of Chileans, Argentinians.
The Congo.
Congolese.
Yeah. Sure. Mozambique.
Well, I mean, you know,
can we continue?
Is it like one of those beer menus where, you know, you get a free pitcher after you've drunk one of everything? He's killed just about some of just about every damn body, hasn't he?
Hey, he didn't give a fuck about Jews either. He's on, you know, he's quoted as saying that if they, you know, threaten whatever the fuck the Jewish population of this visit, that's not a U.S. problem. And, you know, we all know how Nixon really felt about Jews. I mean, come on, look at the shit he said about Henry. And they fucking worked together. So,
they,
you know, I mean...
Henry, they don't understand me. They just don't understand.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's like that black woman who attacked that transgender person on some public transportation somewhere. She's complaining that people are upset with her. And she's like, you know, don't judge me. You don't know me. And it's like, whatever, you know. We know all the fuck we need to know about you. You came on the goddamn thing angry with the fucking world and shit and saw this person who was different, realized that they were vulnerable, and you fucking decided to lash out. And then when the person, you know, in their own defense starts to film you calling her all kinds of bullshit, and you start to beat the fuck out of her. So it's like, yeah, why should we feel sorry for you? You know, these are the types of people that are voting for Trump. Political correctness. Well, the term political correctness is actually a Republican fucking Frank Luntz goddamn creation.
Sure it is.
You know, because the whole point of that bullshit means, you know, you're taking away my rights because I can't call you a faggot or a nigga any goddamn more. You know, so somehow I'm being restricted. You know, this whole point of the fuckers that are supporting Trump, you know, the white nationalists that are all littered throughout his goddamn campaign. They're littered throughout his campaign. If there was one neo-Nazi caught in fucking Hillary Clinton's camp, the fucking Republicans, Rince Priebus, will be on TV every fucking morning whining about how Hillary Clinton somehow has a secret fucking agenda, and the mainstream media would never let it go. And I'm not supporting Clinton, but that's the type of bullshit they would do. They're still talking about Vince Foster. They're still talking about Whitewater. And those are bullshit.
And we are going to be up to our necks in it until November. And if she wins, it's going to be Groundhog Day. We're going to relive all of it. And again, I expect there will be Republican majorities in both houses of Congress. And if they do not impeach her, I'll look for a hat to eat.
Brother Bob, this is the only fucking superpower left, right? Helped cause anyway, the Soviet Union to fucking collapse upon itself. Okay, we have two fucking candidates that are running. One who is being sued in open fucking court for, you know, defrauding hundreds, if not thousands, of goddamn people through his fucking bullshit Trump University. And that shit is not being held against him. And here you have Hillary Clinton that's got, I don't know how many goddamn things weighing against her, especially the fact that she was fucking using an unsecured goddamn email server. We just got on Sarah Palin for doing that same kind of dumbness up in Alaska. She was doing government business on a Yahoo fucking account.
Jesus Christ.
As the governor of a fucking state who is a national security expert, as one of my neighbors wanted to explain to me, you know. So we have Trump and we have Clinton who have the type of dirt and scandals behind them. Super predators. You know, mass incarceration. There was a gentleman who said, I served a lot of fucking time because of the bullshit that you fucking... I've been abused by cops because of what the fuck she talked about. But this cat was sent to the fucking joint. And when he said to her, what about what the fuck you said that caused these... that gave these cops the green light to do what the fuck they did to us? She had nothing to say to that man. She had nothing to say to that man. Absolutely nothing. And one of the things, and I'm going to say this. One of the fucking things that I'm really pissed with the goddamn black community about for letting her off the hook about this is, besides, if you're going to be okay with mass incarceration, I think you're a fucking idiot, but okay. You're going to be okay with her identifying our fucking young people and shit as super predators? You're a fucking idiot, but okay. To each his goddamn own, right? But I find it hard to forgive black folks who are fucking Bible thumpers, who are accusing and associating, you know, the AIDS crisis exclusively with black gay men and women. And basically, keeping alive a climate that leads to the type of violence and shit that is killing all these black, because the majority of these black women who are transgendered, who are being murdered, are being killed by black males. And nobody wants to talk about that because it's like, well, now you're picking on black men. But no, one of the reasons that the fucking AIDS crisis exploded in the fucking black community the way it did is because of mass goddamn incarceration. And no fucking buddy wants to talk about that. Because then we got to talk about homophobia. We got to talk about what the fuck really happens in these goddamn institutions. And nobody wants to fucking talk about that. But if anybody or anything can be blamed for the fucking explosion of AIDS in the black American fucking community, the Clintons can't be squarely motherfucking blamed for this bullshit, because so many goddamn men went in negative and came out fucking positive. And they went home. They went back to their wives and their girlfriends and they passed that shit on. So I don't want to fucking hear it. If you'll forgive, you know, I mean, people are fucking upset with celebrities or politicians over petty shit, but something like that we're going to fucking forget about? Nah, fuck that, man. Absolutely fucking not. You know, the black community is really twisted sometimes, and who the fuck they forgive? R. Kelly's a fucking freak. He's been forgiven. He still has a goddamn career. You have that fake-ass rapper Rick Ross. I'm talking about fake-ass because the real fucking Rick Ross, the real gangster Rick Ross, well, he's out of prison now. And somehow this fucking rapper who called him, who's an ex-cop, by the way, ex-corrections officer and shit, calls himself, names himself after a fucking gangster that distributed crack in the fucking black community. Well, we can get into the argument about who the fuck was distributing the crack. We can talk about Iran-Contra. Man, people forgive these motherfuckers for this bullshit, okay? They forgive them for that. But here we got Dr. Bell Hooks. She wrote a piece about Beyonce that questioned her feminism and her commitment to the fucking cause, really. She's not going to be forgiven for this shit. She's not going to be forgiven for this. See, this is the type of politics we're dealing with. Hillary Clinton is being forgiven for the fucking unforgivable by people who shouldn't fucking forgive her at all. Native people shouldn't forgive her either. You know, her and her husband, the last month he was in office, they went down to Pine Ridge and promised they were going to fucking, you know, exonerate Leonard Peltier. But Mark Rich and all these other motherfuckers, rich people, friends of theirs, they got, you know, they got their shit pardoned off. Leonard's still sitting in there. Leonard represents Mandela's motherfucking struggle in South Africa.
Yeah.
For not just Native people, for every fucking buddy here who consider themselves to be an American, the status and the status of the motherfucking Indian in this country under Obama hasn't changed one goddamn iota. So he's got a few Indians and shit that visit him at the goddamn White House, and they made him a fucking honorary member of a couple of tribes, but not a fucking thing has moved for Indian people. And when Clinton comes in, she can't say a goddamn thing to Indian people. She's going to say that the BDS movement is vile and racist, while the fucking Israeli state is using American tax money to wipe out the Palestinian fucking population that was there while these people were in Krakow and fucking Berlin.
Hey,
so, no.
You know what? You know what? Let me share something with you. The Gazette today, the Charleston Gazette, is still the Gazette to be, not to me, not the Gazette Mail. They had a profile on West Virginia's superdelegates. Talk about, you know, people who ought to know better and not... Let me share with you what West Virginia's superdelegates are saying. You might scream. GERT, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, said, "She is the best choice to unite the Democratic Party, and after being elected president in November, our country. I have had discussions with former President Bill Clinton and representatives from Secretary Clinton's campaign, and believe Hillary Clinton is committed to working with us to diversify West Virginia's economy while continuing to find ways to use our abundant coal and natural gas to power the nation."
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Joe Manchin.
Oh.
When you have a friend, you're willing to say, "Let's sit down and work through our differences. Let's really talk about it." No matter what they might think out there or what they're saying, we have a friend in Hillary Clinton. Then there's the septuagenarian chair of the West Virginia Democratic Party, Belinda Biafori. "When she talked about foreign policy, it just came so natural to her. She knew so much about it. And I said, that's somebody who would make a great leader." Then she went on to talk about Bernie Sanders and said, "He's got the ideas, but he doesn't have the plan to pay for them or see them through."
Yeah.
We got one superdelegate who is behind Bernie, and that's Chris Regan. And he's a young man, and he's the vice chair of the state Democratic Party. And he said, 40 and 50 years ago, at the absolute height of coal employment in West Virginia, President Johnson and President Kennedy visited our state and found crushing poverty. So it has not been the solution, and it is not going to be the solution. We need a new economy here in West Virginia, and Senator Sanders is pointing the way towards it." Sensible, right?
Well, yeah.
So, Secretary of State Natalie Tennant. "I can't allow my daughter to see or to believe that it's okay to treat women and say things about women the way Donald Trump has said things about women. I think for a lot of people who will start looking at this after the primary election, it'll come down to that." Yeah, it's tough luck for that woman named Berta Caceres. That's tough shit for all those women that got bombed all the way to heaven in the Iraq War, some of them pregnant. But yeah, it's that stuff. Meanwhile, now here's some bold leadership. Elaine Harris is chair of the Kanawha County Democratic Executive Committee. She's also a member of the Democratic National Committee. She is, I think she's still head of the Communications Workers of America in West Virginia. The Communications Workers of America endorsed Bernie Sanders. She is remaining silent. Because after all, she got to attend Hillary's invitation-only campaign event at the University of Charleston Tuesday. Well.
Well, bully for her. What about the rest of us?
Well, the rest of us can go pound sand.
Well, you know, you got a lot of temporary millionaires in this country, so
temporarily embarrassed millionaires. Yeah, we got those.
You know, I mean, this is the only country I think that has so many of folks that just, you know, it's beneath them to think about poor people. Even though, like you just talked about, I mean, there's a video. I know I've sent you the link before of some Republicans. I believe it's in Mississippi. And it was a European news service that went down there. And they're like, hey, why would you vote Republican when, you know, you're living in such poverty? I mean, this one cat, I think he looked like he lived in a lean-to.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not trying to be mean. There's a whole lot of black and native folks who look the exact same way and lived the exact same way, but different circumstances. This is a white guy in America, and it's not only so much that he's a white guy in America and he can't make it. This cat obviously had never seen a dentist, it looks like, in his life. The place was filthy.
No, actually, you know who I think shot that? Hmm. That was shot by Nancy Pelosi's daughter.
Nancy Pelosi's daughter, really?
Yeah, I think she's a journalist. I think that was done for Bill Maher's program, as a matter of fact.
Well, I saw it through a European news service the first time, and I've seen it on YouTube since, because I know I've sent you the link to it from YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something. If Nancy Pelosi's daughter, it can do this, but she still talks about impeachment being off the table. You know, I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. So here it is. Cat admits, I don't have anything, and Republicans have never done anything for me. But maybe they will this time.
And maybe things will get better for me. Hope springs eternal.
Right. So when you see a bunch of, you know, and not just that video, there's others out there. White folks who don't have a fucking pot to piss in. But Obama's a nigger. He's helping out the Muslims. He's a terrorist. He's helping the terrorists.
And he turns around and gives Henry Kissinger a Distinguished Service Award, jumping Jesus Christ on a pogo stick.
Look, man, they're wiping out Muslims and Arabs every goddamn day. They're kicking out immigrants.
He's
here.
He's damn sure running out of time to take all our guns.
Yeah, you know, well, yeah, you can take a gun into a church under him. All these different state parks and bullshit under Obama. But again, if they get their fucking news, which is not news, from Fox News, you know, when I tried to tell one of my goddamn neighbors, because I'm surrounded by fucking Republicans, I'm surrounded by white folks in general, and I tried to explain to this fucking
guy.
Are
you trying to pass in a white neighborhood angry? Is that what you're telling
me? No, actually, you know, when there's one or two, niggas are novelties. When it's like five or six, then it's a problem. It's an invasion. You know, you start to turn the neighborhood into a ghetto, and people start talking about the motherfucking property values and shit going down. You know,
yeah, open up a bodega selling 40s. Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, if you look at me, I'm about as threatening as Don Lemon. So, you know, they're not, you know, worried about me.
Dude, I've known you for a while now. Do not ever, for any reason, in any way, compare yourself to Don Lemon. Please, I have too much respect for you.
I'm just being straight up. When they see somebody like me, right off. Motherfuckers like, oh, when'd you get out of the military? I'm like, I've never been in the military. Oh, really? Oh. Because they're not used to seeing a black man who's clean.
Oh, you look... No. You look classy. Classy. Yeah, you know, like probably the black people that work for Trump, they have to be classy.
You know, if you have shine shoes, not wearing a whole bunch of fucking jewelry and shit, you dress neat, you know how to say fucking excuse me, pardon me, excuse me, do you have the time? Thank you. You know, wow, you must have been in the military, because they just have it in their head. That's the only thing that can reform a nigga, a black male, you know, is the military to basically beat some civilization into you, right? To take the savage out of the black and Indians and shit. That's all the military's fucking good for. And I know that that's what that Muslim sister was thinking about when she thought, well, they'll accept me. They're taking in the Sikhs. You know, they've been doing that for several years now in terms of integrating Sikhs and a couple other small religious minorities that cannot cut their hair.
Well, and you know what? If you're a military guy, you'd probably, if you're one of the guys with a lot of jewelry on his costume, you would probably like to have a whole bunch of Sikhs. Because when it comes time to you know, get down to business, they will go in and your stuff right up, absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, there have been Sikhs serving in the British Army.
Well, sure. You
know, for how long? I mean, they went all through World War II and shit. You know, they were there. So, you know,
what were they called? The sepoys? Is that what I'm thinking about?
I'm not sure. Maybe not.
Hey, Angry, I got a roll, though, because we got a bunch of people been jumping in along the way, and I want to hear from them, too. But you have, as usual, brought a veritable feast to the table, and I thank you for it, my friend.
All right. Just speaking.
All
right, everybody.
Don't sell yourself short. Aboriginalradio.wordpress.com?
That's it.
That's the one.
That's it. All right, everybody, please try to support this show if you can.
Please. Thank you. Later. Our buddy, the Angry Indian, and he really does. He brings a feast to the table. And if you want to subscribe to his podcast, he gets one out about once a week. Aboriginalradio.wordpress.com. I guess there are some connectivity problems over at TuneIn. I apologize. Not seeing anything happening weird buffering-wise over here on my end. I hope the server's not going sideways. We have had a bunch of people ringing in over the course of the conversation with Angry, and I welcome you to jump in for the remainder of the program. I'm happy to announce that fundraising is down to $460. Thank you very kindly to Paula. Thank you very, very much indeed. Randy's telling me he just lost the stream, can't get it back. Let me check in the chat room real quick. Well, shoot. Insofar as I'm not seeing anything happening on this end, that kind of means that that it's gone belly up on the server end, which is not a good thing. Note coming from Bruce in PA. Just noting, Hillary, Trump, or Bernie. The corrupt establishment will install corrupt Hillary Trump because they can be controlled by their self-interests, namely their desire not to be impeached. Therefore, they'll do as they're told. It really is a testimony to the honorability of Senator Bernie Sanders. And I am I'm also being told, Shorty in L.A. told me, that Bernie is talking about West Virginia on All In with Chris Hayes right now. I'm going to have to check that out when the segment becomes available. I'd like to hear his thoughts. And Yeah, not that much time left in the program. Dadgummit, I hate it when this happens. So, actually, I don't know. I think I'm going to knock off early because I've got a couple of stories to go into, but they're going to take longer than I can than I've got available to me. Oh, hold on here. By Jove, is that you, Tracy?
Oh my God! Did I finally get through?
You finally got through.
It's just, I don't know what was happening with my phone. I guess it's the stress line. I think whenever I try to call you guys on that phone line,
yeah,
it just goes ridiculously well or whatever.
Well, and depending on if you're using a speakerphone or a Bluetooth device or something like that, it does not work well at all.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we've got some folks who call in and don't have a problem at all. Go figure.
Well, see, it's just, it's just specially for me because, you know, I'm special like that. So it is what it is. So how you doing, Bob?
It's been a weird week.
Yeah.
I hated missing last night, but you know, you'll have that from time to time.
We're in troubling times now, Bob. You know, I've never been so much thinking about the end of days lately. I think it really hit home when, you know, Trump became the presumptive, you know, not candidate for the Republican Party, and I'm just like, oh.
Well, see, the thing for me is that, as I've said at least a couple of times on the program this evening, I'm not as confident as so many are. Hillary will just mop the floor with him.
I'm not confident of that at all. I have a good friend who I know has sense because she's my friend. She's a black woman, single mom. And we were talking about Bernie Sanders, and she, you know, basically said, you know, she's going to vote for Bernie in June. But said that if Bernie didn't win, she was going to vote for Trump.
There are those out there.
But I'm like, because see, he, like Andrew was talking about, he's touching on a nerve of people on, you know, like about the anti, she's like, you know, me allowing all these Muslims to come here and blow this up. I said, what was the last time since, you know, that horrible incident in San Bernardino and, you know, there, but, it's
or
not.
I'm sorry, you can never say that without me being reminded of Pappy Cruz saying San Bernardino. San Bernardino,
oh,
yes. Yeah, San Bernardino.
But if you know, when you're playing on people's fears, and he's doing a damn good job, and then she, you know, about the. When, you know, that last one of those rallies that he had, when he had all these family members of people who had been killed by, you know, immigrants or illegals or what have you. And the brother that was up there because his son was killed by a gang member. And I'm sitting there, brother, he don't care about you.
Yeah, see, I'm glad I'm not the only one that feels like all of that is sort of forced and Bill was much better at it, Tracy. You know, when he'd hold your hand and put his hand on your shoulder, and I feel your pain. Yeah, it was believable. Hillary's not effective at that.
No.
And I'm not trying to encourage. I'm not trying to encourage. If she's the nominee, I'm not trying to encourage. I don't want anybody thinking I'm saying don't vote for her. I'm not saying that. No, please do. But
I'm not saying that either, and let it be known.
No, I
will hold back the gag reflex and all that, and I will cast my ballot for her.
You're in California. All eyes are on you, Tracy.
Guess what I got in the mail. It's on its way. My Bernie Sanders line sign.
Yay.
I ordered it. I just got the confirmation. Wednesday? It should. I might have it by Friday.
Wow! And right into your brand new yard.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to order from In-N-Out real quick, so hold on. Can I get a number, what is it? You want a number two, Will?
Hi, how are you?
Can I get a number two, please?
What's that, onion?
Yes. And lemonade?
Sure.
Okay, and a lemonade.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You want that for In-N-Out?
Yes, please. Sorry, the guy's talking, and I just drove off.
So what's the number two?
Number two is an In-N-Out burger with fries and a lemonade.
Oh, I'm you're an In-N-Out burger. Oh.
It's for Will. I'm trying not to eat stuff from In-N-Out on a regular basis, as difficult as it is.
Yeah, but I mean, I know what's going to happen at 9 o'clock. I'm gonna go up there. I'm going to order the gas station pizza. I know I'm going to. There's no getting around it. Believe me, In-N-Out Burger's a step up.
Well, and,
so Tim from L.A. wants to know, why didn't you ask for animal style?
Because I don't like it. It's not for me, and I don't like it animal style when I do order it. Actually, I lie. I get it animal style without the sauce.
Okay, anybody want to anybody want to clue me in?
Well, animal style is the In-N-Out Burger, and they grill it with the burger with mustard and onions and put pickles on it.
Oh, damn, I'd be ordering it that way.
Yeah, but see, I don't like the spread. Because all it is Thousand Island dressing. I don't care what
Oh,
spread.
No, I don't want any. Oh, no Thousand Island dressing. Hey, I got a little news. Found out today that a national publication, online, I guess, has ranked my beloved Secret Sandwich Society as the best sandwich joint in West Virginia.
Nice.
I was proud of them. Proud for them.
Hey. You know, it's those little things that make you smile. Like the other day, I know you don't watch, Scandal and stuff like that because you don't have cable, but on Saturday, you know how you get all these news feeds of different old TV shows and people pick out scenes. Do you remember the show A Different World?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so there's this episode when Dwayne Wayne breaks up Whitley's wedding and she winds up marrying him. And the character that the guy who was supposed to, she was supposed to marry, his name was Byron, played by Joel Martin,
okay,
who was on Scandal. He plays Papa Pope, who is the scariest. He's a head of this thing called Command, which makes the CIA basically look like, you know, Easter seals. Anywho, so in the scene, he just walks off the, you know, off scene and stuff. And I wrote on my Facebook page, looking for Dwayne Wayne, that Joe, and I hit the Joe Martin's Twitter account, was not Command back then, or that scene would have ended much differently. Joe Martin saw the tweet and he retweeted it.
Nice. Very nice.
I was like, that's
a brush with fame.
Yes. I had a couple, and I had like about 10 or 20 people like that one little tweet. And, you know, it's like you said, it's those little things that, you know, make you, you know, those that you cling on to because the rest of your life.
Better than clinging to guns and religion.
Hello. Look, you know, I love listening to Angry because, you know, and we only have like 6 minutes to do this, but just the fact of what he says about, you know, how dare black people vote for Hillary Clinton.
As a guy so white that he burns under the refrigerator light bulb, I can't say things like that.
You can't, but I sure as hell can. It just
and you know there are a lot of people of color out there who are saying the very same thing. But the problem becomes, what do you do if she's the nominee?
Again,
now, like I said, all eyes are on you. It is up to California to deliver Bernie like an 85% victory.
You see that they were out yesterday, Rosario Dawson with her fine ass, and Zoe Kravitz, Lenny's gorgeous daughter, and a couple of other folks were out in different colleges out here in California, you know, basically rocking
oh,
the boat.
Oh, that rally at Sacramento was huge.
Okay. So, again.
And there were thousands who turned out for Bernie in Montana today, and I think it may have constituted the entire population of the state. Because there just aren't that many thousands in Montana. It's like West Virginia.
And see, this is where it makes, you know, those head scratching, head achy moments when you're going, it's going well. You have
for your money from Diet Coke?
Yes. No, it's the lemonade.
By the way, Arthur wants you to know that the Horn family would like a large fry and a chocolate milkshake, please.
Okay, not a problem. I will add the large fry. But the thing is, when you have thousands upon thousands, thank you, of people turning out for Bernie Sanders' rally, and he doesn't charge for his rally. There's no $10,000 a plate, you know, love fest. Or anything like that at George Clooney's mansion. You know, you just have everyday people showing up. But people want, and that's what makes me crazy, that, you know, you have Hillary rallies and you basically can hear crickets.
Hi, I'm Arthur.
Hi, yeah. Thank you.
Did you lemonade? Anything to be applied?
No.
Okay.
So I don't get it, Bob. I mean, I get it. Of course I get it. But then I don't get it.
Well, look, I mean, the Democratic nomination system is designed for a Hillary Clinton-type mainstream candidate.
Right. And like you said, we talked about this before. You said, I bet you the Republicans would say, wishing that they had some superdelegates right about now.
Well, they did until recently. Now
for real?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, because, I mean, now they're stuck with Trump. I mean, he doesn't have the numbers yet. But he's going to have the numbers, and
he's going to have the numbers,
and he's going to be the nominee, and it's going to, I mean, it's fast approaching national security crisis for levels for various law enforcement and security security organizations in Cleveland. Yeah.
Well, like I said, I have announced this. And I'm going to do this. The more I think about it, the more I think it is necessary, because I am shopping for a television right now. And on my birthday, because July 21st, my actual physical birthday.
I know, I'd like to be at the party.
We are going to have, I'm going to have to watch it, and I'm going to have people over so we can just sit back and watch and go, are you serious?
Well, you got to come up with a drinking game then.
Yeah, it's a Thursday night, Bob. I don't know if we could be doing drinking games. People most of my friends have to get up and go to work.
Yeah, well, that's true too. And you might not be able to afford enough booze for it either. Because if you were to have a drinking game where, every time they panned the camera across and showed a banner that said "Make America White Again," I mean, great again. everybody'd be liquored up out of their minds in the first 15 minutes.
But then
think
about it.
And then the 5-0, and then a neighbor probably called the 5-0.
Yeah, because they're already. Well, see, one of the reasons, because Jan, I freak her out about the things that I do, and I try to keep it, you know, under somewhat control, so she does. So I hadn't planned on getting a Bernie Sanders lawn sign until I saw two doors houses down. A neighbor with the Bernie Sanders lawn sign. And I said, okay. But see, my Bernie Sanders sign is a pride sign with Bernie Sanders with a rainbow.
Now.
I just didn't just go get the regular Bernie Sanders sign. No, I had to go get the Bernie Sanders pride sign.
Damn straight.
I am just, like I said, like we're angry. You know, I'm trying not to be angry, but it's just, if when I hear my black brother and sister talking about Hillary Clinton, I might have you not just the part about super predators and being brought to hell. How do you forget that? And the fact is, how do you forgive it when she hasn't at least tried? She hasn't even tried to say, you know, it was a different time. I shouldn't have. She hasn't even said, or what she's going to do to rectify the three strike law, the draconian practices.
Hey, Tracy, we're running out of time. But before we go, I want you to exit screaming, because you know, because I love you. Governor Pat McCrory of North Carolina has suggested that Congress should revisit the 1964 Civil Rights Act so that segregated bathrooms can be allowed. You know, not black and white, not black and white, but
for,
you know,
transgender.
Yeah, right.
I'm hanging up the phone now. See, why come on, Bob? I thought you loved me so. Why are you going to end the note like this? See, that's right. That's right.
You go through In-N-Out Burger when I'm hungry on my air.
Payback
is hell, sister.
Karma's a bitch.
That's right.
All right. I got you all that. Okay, fine. But anyway, keep on keeping on, Bob, and take care of yourself.
I'm so going to try. All right. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye.
Well, the stream came back. I didn't cut out early, and we got the whole program in. Hot diggity damn. That's that. I call that a win. And we will close the program with only $460 to raise, and hopefully that'll change overnight. You know, 10 at 46, 1 at 460, 2 at 230, 4 at 115, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Y'all have a wonderful evening. Thanks, everybody. Always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.